Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be wondering. You're too young.
Do you believe it is possible to manifest incredible love? It is, but you have to know something you might not yet understand. Stay tuned. Welcome to my podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Today's guest, Nikki Hu, is a Florida-based love and marriage coach who helps highly successful women attract and manifest their divine soulmates to create authentic, lifelong, joyful relationships. And who wouldn't want that? Her expertise comes from her own 12-year relationship with her husband and years of study of human behavior. Nikki fuses the world of logic with spirituality to create a practical approach in relationships that her clients can understand and implement. She helps her clients with a variety of tools, including human design, astrology, energy healing, psychology, leadership, and life experience. And in addition to the joy of spending time with her son, Luca, and her husband, she also has a passion for fitness, having new experiences, and creating beauty through her photos and words. And you can join this new powerful summit called Manifesting Incredible Love. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Nikki Hu.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica Goodstone. I'm so excited to be here.
So let's start with you explaining your unique education, because you have a few different areas that are different. The training and the tools you use just generally to help and support your clients manifest incredible love and incredible lives.
Yes, thank you so much for that question. I would say I am a huge self-study nerd, and when I get passionate about something, I hire coaches, I go and I purchase programs. So a lot of my studies on human behavior is from researching the internet, reading, and using myself and my friends as test subjects and compiling that information, looking for patterns of how logical things like attachment styles used in like psychology and how that relates to kind of what we say in the spiritual world, karmic connections, and really fusing the two together. So when I was doing my own personal study on human design, trying to figure out who I am as a person, why I'm attracted to certain people, and why I get along with why I get along and why I understand certain people and I don't feel the same way about others, through human design, which is like an energetic blueprint, and astrology. Astrology helps me understand myself, the way that I think, the way that I act, the way that I show up, why I do the things I do, and using that as a basis to return to my true self, my authentic being, and gaining confidence from that. And then I use tools.
Wait, before you get to the tools, I just have a question. Can you explain what human divine is? Is it a certain program? What does it include?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So human design is an energetic blueprint of who we are. And it uses astrology, and it uses the Eastern method called the Chinese I Ching of personality types and shadows. And gifts, and it fuses the two together. So it really helps us see how we function energetically, what type of traits that we carry, conscious and unconscious, and how to best support ourselves through our authentic being rather than what society says we should or shouldn't do.
Yeah, that's one of the problems that so many of us run into, what we should do and what the other person should or shouldn't do. We're attracted to someone for the way they are, and then if they don't do the things the way we think they should, we start to have problems.
I agree. And for a very long time, I feel like, for me personally, I grew up in a household where my parents, their generation, they functioned differently. And being told, like, I had to work a certain type of way and I had to do a 9-to-5, and there were certain expectations placed upon me, whereas when I was looking at my human design, I noticed, I was like, I didn't understand why I was so sporadic. I didn't understand why I loved picking up hobbies, but just as quickly, like, dropping them. I was a multitasker. I loved many different things, and I couldn't stick to one thing. And I had always thought, there must be something wrong with me, because everybody else just chose one career path and stuck to it. Or they're very good at sticking, following directions, following a routine. And I was never good at it. Over time, I thought that was a disability. I thought that was a weakness, that there's something absolutely wrong with me. But through human design, I learned that it was my superpower to be able to be a multifaceted person, to be able to jump to the finish line and work backwards, because my purpose in this lifetime, or my energetic way of being, is that I'm here to create shortcuts for people. So through my life experience, everything that I experiment with and I try, if it doesn't serve me, I let it go. But each experience, I gain the wisdom just enough so that I can pass on the quickest way for somebody to get to the finish line through those experiences. And that's my gift. It's not that I can't stick to one thing from start to finish. It's that I'm here to kind of test the waters, see which one works the best, and take that knowledge and pass it on to other people.
That's fascinating, because I've always been interested in many different things, not just one. And people sometimes have told me, you know, I'm not sure what you're doing because I'm into health and I'm into relationships and sexuality and spirituality, the mind-body connection. You know, there are a lot of different areas. But I combine them, just as you said. So I synthesize things, and I see myself more as a synthesizer now. But it took a while. I never thought there was a problem with me. It's other people saying it, because they would do one thing, and they would be bothered by it, that, you know, that you can't do more than one thing. But we're all different, and that's how it is. So this is a question that our listeners can really benefit from. Why do so many of us keep choosing the same types of partners and creating the same types of relationship patterns, even though in many cases it makes us very unhappy and unfulfilled?
Wow, what a powerful question. And this stems back to our childhood. It stems back to our early experiences in relationships and how we cope and learn to regulate our emotions through our relationships. So as we grow into adults, our subconscious has been already wired to think a certain way, to react a certain way, to love a certain way. And so we subconsciously seek the same patterns in our adult relationships. And when we come short, we feel disappointed because it reminds us that the experiences that we had in our childhood is being repeated. And I'll give you an example of this. When I was a child, my mom, she was very dominant personality, very strong personality. And so I never had the opportunity to express myself. I was always repressed who I am as a person, and I ended up pleasing her a lot. And I thought that was what love feels like. Love feels like constantly chasing for her approval. Love feels like wanting to be validated for success.
Hello? Oh, no. She got dropped off. So we'll wait. Maybe she can come back in.
Are you
Hello.
Still there?
Yes,
oh,
welcome
my goodness.
Back.
My apologies. I lost the connection.
I saw
I'm happy to continue.
Okay, so just go on, continue now.
Yes. So as a child, I believe that love felt like constantly chasing for approval, and it felt good. It felt good for somebody to acknowledge my efforts in, let's say, success, because that's what my mother valued a lot. She valued hard work, and she valued success, and she valued looking good and being proper and staying quiet. And so in my adult relationships, I really tried to impress other people because I thought that's how I needed to be in order to be loved. And so I was always showing up as a good person, as somebody who never had flaws, as somebody who always worked very, very hard. And I sacrificed a lot of my own personal needs in order to meet other people's needs. And eventually, I kept attracting people who did value those things, who did value me for being very proper, but I was never able to express myself. I was never able to do those things. And then I realized, why is it that I keep getting the same type of interactions in my relationships where I never felt intimacy because I never showed people who I was, so afraid of it. And that's an example. And so we learn these patterns through our childhood of how we were taught that love was and what we believe that love feels like. And if you never had a proper relationship and to handle your emotions or to process your emotions, that affects the way that we show up in relationships, and it affects the type of people we attract in our life and the type of interactions we have with other people.
Yeah, so you're saying you attracted people who liked you being that way, but then if you tried to express yourself, they probably would not help you to do that.
Yeah. It was either people who were triggered by my strong personality when I did decide that, you know what, I'm going to speak up and say my mind. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, no, I can't control her thoughts. I can't, you know, like, I don't feel safe. And when she stands up, excuse me, when she stands up for herself, and eventually those people started to slowly fade away. They fade away, but I would always hear, like, people talking behind my back, oh, I think she's doing this, oh, I think she's doing that. But in reality, it's because of that attachment that I had to, like, I'm just going to please everyone. And then when I decide not to please them, it was backlash. I was triggered. It was like, oh, no, now I don't like her anymore.
Right, because when we try to change that, it can be very abrupt. And it seems like it's always about us. We're pleasing other people, then we're withholding our pleasing. About discovering who the other person is and really being sharing. So my next question is, what can we do to change these patterns?
I would say becoming self-aware of who you are and what you want in a relationship, and really being honest, right? Like being honest, what do I truly desire? And standing firm in that.
And it's also being honest with yourself, not just with the other person. An example that I think of is a woman who wants to meet a very successful man who's a great businessman. So maybe she meets that person and then he's traveling a lot. He has other women and, you know, he's not there for her. So maybe that's not really what she wants. It's just something she was told she should want.
Yeah. I think it's also being honest of what you truly desire. Because there are many moments in my life and I've seen in other people where we want to be loved. We want to be able to care for others. And coming up to a point where we sacrifice a lot, and I say sacrifice because we're not conscious of that we're doing this. We just want to take care of other people. We just want to be valued. And in return, accepting the behaviors of how other people act towards us, such as infidelity or talking to other people or not being consistent and not showing up and not caring for us the same way that we care for them. And being honest, like, this person may not have my interests in mind, because although I want to feel loved and I want to have that love reciprocated, if they're not reciprocating that back to me, that may not be the relationship for me. And saying that's okay to let the person go instead of thinking that we're not going to find anyone else who is able to reciprocate that and staying in a relationship that doesn't serve us.
And it isn't only that we can't find someone who's going to reciprocate. It's also the feeling like this is the last person on earth, the last man I'm going to find. No one's going to be as good as that. And if I lose that, no one's going to love me. That kind of neediness and almost desperation, it just doesn't work.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. When we talk about like the lack mentality, and it's the shift of from I am lacking, and it's really internal too. It's the shift of I am lacking, and I don't believe that there are other people out there who are going to value me, into I am worthy, and I value myself. And when we shift into that space of I'm worthy and I value myself and I am happy with who I am as a person, the environment that we are in immediately shifts to match that vibration. So when that happened personally for me, I started to notice that even my friends, they started to say things that I valued about me. I said, I value my kindness. And that was reflected back to me, and it was the craziest thing. When I used to feel like, oh, the compliments, I would ask people, how do you feel about me? And they would think, oh, you're very kind. And I hated that quality about myself because I thought kindness was weakness. And I hate that. I was like, oh, I'm so kind, and I'm letting people step all over me, and I have no voice. But I shifted into, you know what, I am kind because the world I lived in was not kind to me. And for me to give that kindness as a gift, that was like, oh, my God, that is a huge thing. And then when I was able to just be okay with who I am as a person, people were like, thank you for being so nice to me. Thank you for your kindness and compassion. And slowly I started to accept the parts of me that I didn't truly value. And I started to see them as very powerful, valuable, beautiful things in this world. And the relationships with other people started to shift in the same way. They started to be grateful because I was grateful. They started to show me love because I showed myself love. And it was the craziest thing at the time. I was crying because that was my healing journey. I never felt worthy. And I finally felt worthy of love. I finally felt worthy that, oh my goodness, that I deserve to be loved because I love myself.
It's so simple and such a journey to get there. So there's a piece that you talk about and energetic alignment, that we have to be energetically aligned. So what does this have to do with creating magnificent love and feeling worthy? Just explain it.
Yes. So when I talk about energetic alignment, it's different components, like mentally, physically, spiritually, and your actions that you take. So I'll give you a very powerful example. If I say that I am worthy of somebody who reciprocates the same energy back to me, and I believe that, but my actions don't align to that. So when somebody is doing something that I do not value, like maybe they said something that really hurts me, and I just let it slide, and I'm not being true to myself, and I'm like, oh, it's okay, they can treat me that way, or I'm allowing them to say these things to me. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between how I feel that I want to be treated and the action that I'm taking to step into alignment with that belief. And if I continue to let that happen, something inside of me feels really bad. Like my body will reject that feeling. And I'm sure many of you have felt it too, of like, this doesn't feel right. This person just does not feel right. My energy just does not match. And how this translates to creating the incredible love that you desire is really being truthful with what you want and taking the action steps to embody what you want, right? And I always think of this like, let's say like a car with four wheels. If all three wheels are traveling in the same direction and one wheel is a lazy wheel or it just does not function, or it's going backwards even if that's possible, that car is not going in one direction. That car is probably going to swerve, stay stagnant, or completely go off track. And I think of it like that. If your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, and your actions are not all aligned, then something is not going. Something is not working. And that's why I say, it's so important to know, right? To know what you want, but also be able to align your actions with that.
Well, a good example is you say, I want to lose weight, and then you don't eat properly. You know, and you don't study it and find a way to eat better so you don't lose weight. Or you go on a quick diet and get off it. You're not aligned. You're not clear that you really want to lose this weight and you're going to do whatever it takes.
Oh, my God, that's a fantastic example. And that's one that happens to me, too. As human beings, it happens all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, I do want to lose weight, but I don't want to work out. It's like, okay. Where does that not align?
So you have to have a bigger purpose with that. Now here's another really important question. A lot of people ask this because they seem to keep running into, a lot of women, excuse me, run into a man who's not making a commitment or saying mean things or ghosting her, disappearing, coming back, you know, just not being reliable. So the question is, where are all the high-quality men and women?
Oh, my goodness. Your focus to where that is, it starts within yourself. And I know this is so redundant. It begins with you. So where you place that focus is where they show up, right? And it's to say no to the things that you do not align with. And you don't think, I would say not putting as much focus into the bad qualities. And this can be really easy to start with. Start looking at the positive qualities of other people, even if they're not romantic. Even if they're not going to be romantic partners for you, just things that people do that you really enjoy. For example, somebody holding the door for you, right? If that's something you enjoy, take notice of that. Somebody who smiles and says hello, take notice of that and give gratitude for that and even embody that within yourself. And as you continue to take notice and put your focus towards the positive things, you're going to notice that there are so many incredible people around you who are respectful, who show these endearing qualities that you probably never noticed before. And it's not that they don't exist. They're there. They are there. It's where we look. It's where we take notice of these things.
Yeah, and it's important to notice it everywhere. So you start to see that people exist like that, not just a romantic partner, but friends and acquaintances. Just start noticing what you like and what resonates with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And have fun.
Yes.
I always say, life is not so serious. Have fun. Laugh. You know, when you laugh, other people are lit up, right?
That's really funny.
As I'm saying.
So many of us just forget to have fun. Life becomes so serious. You put on the news and it's so serious. And, you know, you really do have to have some fun. Make things fun. I love that you said that. So
thank you.
We're actually running out of time. You're welcome. So I just have one more question before you tell us about the summit. Can you suggest a few simple things that our listeners could do right now to start attracting the love that they really want?
Absolutely. One of the most simple that I do every morning is I connect to one positive thing that I enjoy either about myself or the life that I currently have. And I express gratitude for that. And I just want to leave with that one, because that one, if you do it consistently, will change your entire life. So this morning I woke up and I noticed that I looked at myself in the mirror and I noticed that I was like looking really good because I actually put a lot of time into, I would say like into losing the baby fat, because after my pregnancy, I gained a lot of weight and it was very, I enjoyed myself, even though I was a lot heavier than I was before. It was a moment where I actually did not criticize myself. And I said, I am so beautiful, just as I am, just with all the extra weight and the sagging skin and the stretch marks. And I said, I am so beautiful. And that lit me up. And if you can express one thing that you're grateful for every day, that can shift your entire world.
So important. Thank you so much. So now, before we go, please tell our listeners what they can expect on the summit, you know, what it's about. And
oh my God, thank you so much. I would love to. So my summit is called Manifest Incredible Love. And it is to help singles and couples, if you're in a relationship already, cultivate incredible love in your life, whether you are looking to attract a soulmate or whether you're looking to ignite the flame and the passion and the love back into your relationship. I've brought together over 25 experts in relationships and in intimacy, in health and holistic healing, to support you in this journey with their, and there's some really amazing stories of how they've cultivated incredible love in their life and how you can too. So definitely come and join me. It begins on April 1st through the 15th.
Huh. I didn't realize that. And my birthday is April 16th. So it's right before that. Important time for me. That's also tax time when people have to give their taxes in. So it's a beautiful summit and really valuable. So the final thing I'd like you to share is how our viewers, listeners, can get in touch with you if they want to, and any final words you might want to share with the listeners.
Thank you so much. You can contact me through my website, www.manifestincredibleLove.com. You can also reach me at manifestincredibleLove@gmail.com and my Instagram account, which is Nikki.Hu. So it's Nikki.Hu. And final words, just be you. Love you for who you are, because the world, you are perfect. You know, you come into this world perfect as you are, and the world will love you as you are. That's all.
And actually, that's all we really want, is to be loved as we are. And that's a